In the name of the one God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. Well, this morning we are wearing red, so it must be the Feast of Pentecost. Pentecost is often considered to be the birthday of the church. So on this day we remember the Holy Spirit coming down upon the early disciples who are gathered together in that upper room, and he comes down on them and he empowers them for ministry that would see the gospel spread from that small room to what was then the known world in just a few short years. And it must have been an amazing sight to behold that first Pentecost Sunday as the Holy Spirit comes down with a sound like a rushing wind and settles on each of those believers as a tongue of fire. Do you think in this moment they had any idea what the church would become? Now, as clergy members, Father Nathaniel and I often hear people's reasons for leaving their church or even sometimes leaving our church. And there are plenty of legitimate reasons to leave a worshiping community. When Scripture is not valued, when heresy is being taught, when mission is being ignored, when the gospel is being perverted, then it's certainly time to go. But so often we hear much more superficial reasons. Well, I just didn't like the music. The youth group didn't do enough fun activities. The coffee was really pretty bad. The sermons weren't very funny. The preacher had a big nose. Now, when we make excuses like this, what we're doing is we're treating the church as nothing more than an organization whose purpose it is to meet our individual needs for entertainment or validation or personal happiness. And so we start to think about going to church much like we think about going to the store. If I go to Walmart and they don't have my favorite cereal, I'll just go to Price Cutter or I'll go to Target and I'll find it there. Because it's all about me and what I want. Now, although the church started as a community of believers entrusted with proclaiming the gospel of Jesus Christ, we have turned it into a commodity of professionals focused on producing the product of Christianity for the customers. But this is not God's intention for the church. Now, I sometimes hear people talking about how we need to get back to the first century church. We need to do things like they did them in the first century. And oftentimes what people mean by this is a desire to return to the form of worship in the early church. But I think way more importantly than the form is we need to get back to the purpose of the early church. And this morning I'd like to use our reading from Acts to see if we can unpack what that actually is. Now, chapter 2 of Acts begins by saying, when the day of Pentecost arrived, they were all together in one place. Now, it's interesting to note that when the Holy Spirit comes upon the believers at Pentecost, He does not come primarily to the individual. He comes to the gathered community of believers. In our hyper-individualized world, we've turned worship of God into nothing more than a personal experience. And so the purpose of the church then becomes an organization that helps individual worshipers to establish that private connection with the holy. We each do our own thing. We enter into our own individual time with the Lord. But if that's the purpose of the church, why bother showing up at all? I can sing along with hymns and worship songs on YouTube. I can listen to any number of sermons on a podcast. I can say my own prayers. And then I don't have to worry about waking up early and putting on nice clothes and coming and dealing with all of those hypocrites in the church. And what we forget, though, is that while private time with God is certainly important, so is corporate worship. As Anglicans, we often talk about how important communion is to us, and it certainly is. But communion is about much more than me and my own individual experience of the sacrament. That word communion literally means done together. There's something about coming together in one place to offer common worship to the Lord with other believers. To put it in a slightly different context, I've watched my fair share of Boston Red Sox games from the comfort of my living room, sitting in my recliner. There's no line for the bathrooms. The hot dogs are way less expensive. And that's all well and good. But I can tell you, it is a dramatically different experience to go and watch a Red Sox game with 40,000 other rabid fans from the confines of Fenway Park. It is a completely different experience. And in a similar manner, our worship of God is elevated when we do it with other Christians together. However, the church is about more than just having a place to worship together. Now, we can see in our reading today that the Holy Spirit empowers not just individuals, but the church itself for mission and ministry. We're told that the first thing that happens to those gathered when the Holy Spirit comes is that they were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. Now, it can be really tempting for us to turn this into a model for a personal experience. But if we keep reading in Acts, we discover what this experience was actually for. Luke goes on to say, "Now there were dwelling in Jerusalem Jews, devout men from every nation under heaven." So this is the Feast of Pentecost, and that was a big deal for the Jewish community. It was an annual harvest festival, and it came 50 days after the Feast of the Passover. And so Jews would come from all over the diaspora, and they would gather in Jerusalem so that they could worship in the temple and offer sacrifices to God. Now, given the large crowd that's gathered, scholars believe that the event starting in verse 5 actually take place not in that upper room, but in the temple itself. And so the disciples have moved out of this hiding place, as it were, and now they are standing in the center of activity for the Pentecost celebration. And suddenly, all of those who have gathered in the temple from all over the world start to hear the sounds of proclamations being made. Starting in verse 6, we're told, "And at this sound, the multitude came together, and they were bewildered, because each one of them was hearing them speak in his own language." The people in the temple recognized that those who were speaking, those who were making this proclamation, were all Galileans. But yet, each person heard what was being said in his or her own language. So this gift of tongues is not simply an act of personal piety, but rather it is the Holy Spirit empowering a group of believers to boldly proclaim the gospel in a way that everyone can hear it and understand it. Now, it's interesting that Luke includes here a list of the places the people in the crowd are from. And although this is one of those readings that really does strike fear into the hearts of readers on Pentecost Sunday, it's important because these places essentially represent what was the known world at that time. And it signals that there is a very important shift taking place here. Up until this point, the worship of God had centered on the temple in Jerusalem. And so people from all over the world would come to Jerusalem for this purpose, to worship God there. But now the script is being flipped. In our gospel reading today, our gospel reading from John, Jesus tells his disciples that he will send the Holy Spirit to be with them forever. And he says, "You know him, for he dwells with you and will be in you." The implications of this statement and the reality that occurs on Pentecost are enormous. For the Jews, the temple was where the presence of God dwelt on earth. And this is why everyone had to come to Jerusalem to worship God and to offer him sacrifices. But with the coming of the Spirit, the presence of God now dwells not in a temple made by human hands, but instead in the hearts of the individual believers. And so it's no surprise that in the year 70, the temple in Jerusalem is destroyed by the Romans. Now, the Romans thought they were getting one up on the Jews. They thought they were showing victory and mastery over a foreign god. But the truth of the matter is God no longer needed a temple in Jerusalem because the temple is his individual believers throughout the world. We are his temple now. And this is what Paul is talking about in 1 Corinthians chapter 6 when he says, "Do you not know that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit within you, whom you have from God?" And so this, my friends, is the fundamental purpose of the church. We are called to be temples of the Holy Spirit and to proclaim the mighty works of God to the world. Jesus is risen from the dead. Your sins are forgiven. The kingdom of God is at hand. You have been set free from slavery to sin and the devil. This is all very good news. And it's not just good news for a small band of people gathered together in an upper room. It is good news for the entire world. You see, the church is not primarily an organization, a social club, or an entertainment venue. The church is a community of believers empowered by the Holy Spirit to proclaim the gospel to the lost and to the broken. We come together at least once a week to worship God, to fortify our hearts, to educate our minds, to feed on the body and blood of Christ, so that we might be built up to accomplish this task when we go back out into the world. And so when a Christian says, "Oh, I don't need to go to church," it's like an athlete saying, "I don't need to train." Or it's like a musician saying, "I don't need to practice." Or it's like a student saying, "I don't need to study." What we do here is important because it prepares us for what we do when we walk outside these doors, when we go back out into the world. We worship God at church because it trains us to lift Him up and exalt Him in our daily lives. If we don't train ourselves to put God first in worship, we will never be able to put Him first when we leave this place, in our families, in our works, in our personal relationships. But it's more than just that. We are called to serve God in the church because it prepares us to serve God in the world. When we view the church as nothing more than a commodity, we start believing that the whole purpose of God is to serve us and to meet our needs, when in reality, our job is to serve Him. If we aren't serving God in the church, how in the world will we ever serve Him outside of the church? We're also called to be generous with our finances, giving sacrificially to the church. When we develop hearts of generous stewardship in the church, It trains us to be generous stewards out there in the world, seeking to meet the needs of others rather than only seeking to have our own needs met. You see, despite what many of us have believed for years, the purpose of the church is not primarily to meet my individual needs. The purpose of the church is to make disciples of Jesus Christ who go out into the world and proclaim the gospel to make disciples for Jesus Christ. The message of Pentecost is not so much that we should go to church, but rather that we should be the church. We are the temples of the Holy Spirit. We are called to worship the Lord in spirit and in truth so that we might teach others to worship the Lord in spirit and truth. We need to get out of this consumer mentality where we see the church as a product and ourselves as the customers. And so instead of asking, well, what can I get out of this church? Ask yourself, what can I put into it? How can I serve in a meaningful way? What things can I do to prepare myself to join with this community in taking the gospel to the lost? How can I shape and form my own life to be a better example of Jesus Christ? How can I be more generous by sharing the things that the Lord has given me with others? This is what the church is meant to be. The question we need to ask ourselves is, are we willing to be it? Are we willing to be the church that the Holy Spirit empowers and acts? Or will we just be individuals sitting on the sidelines seeking to be entertained? My challenge to each one of you today is to struggle with that question. Ask yourself, how am I being called to be the church? If you haven't yet made a commitment to regular attendance and participation in corporate worship, come and talk to Father Nathaniel or me about why it is so important for us to do that. If you're not currently serving, come and talk to Father Nathaniel or me about where you might be able to serve here at All Saints. If you're not currently giving sacrificially to the work of the church, come and talk to Father Nathaniel or me about what it means to trust the Lord with all that we have. When we commit to doing these things here, it will change our lives out there, turning us into ambassadors for Jesus Christ, which will then change the lives of the people we meet outside these walls. So don't just come to church. Take a stand today and be the church. Happy Pentecost. Amen.